Today's reading is from Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So today's passage is a two-parter. The folks who create the lectionary, the list of readings for Sundays on the three-year cycle, have broken this story into two parts. Pastor Jeff will preach about the second part next week, so we're going to be left with a little bit of a cliffhanger. There's a lot going on in this reading, and I'm going to take a minute to explain a few things to help you follow what's happening, so please bear with me. In this passage, Jesus gets up to read from the Hebrew prophets and then sits down to speak about the reading. This is a very normal thing to happen in synagogues at this time. They'd start with a prayer called the Shema and then read the Ten Commandments, the 18 Benedictions, a Torah reading, the Torah being the first five books of the Old Testament, a discussion of that reading, the Psalms, a reading from the prophets, a discussion of that reading, and then the blessing. It was normal for any man in the congregation to give a reading and an explanation. In Nazareth, where Aramaic was more commonly spoken than Hebrew, it was normal to expect the reader to read the text in Hebrew and then translate to Aramaic and speak in Aramaic. An assistant called the Hazan would have managed the scrolls of the scripture and handed them to the reader. It was also normal to stand to read the scripture and then sit to speak on it, as today's scripture shows Jesus doing. The scripture that Jesus quotes is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, with a modification from Isaiah 58, 6. What's interesting is that it's almost a word-for-word quote from the Septuagint version of Isaiah in the Greek. The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, plus a few other books that are part of the Apocrypha, which are books in the Catholic Bible but not in our Protestant Bible, and a few other books, making a total of 70, thus the name Septuagint. The legend says that the Septuagint was created in about 300 BC on the order of the Egyptian pharaoh for inclusion in the Library of Alexandria. It was widely available in the Greek world. Seeing the Greek in Luke match the Greek in the Septuagint for Isaiah furthers our belief that the author of Luke was well educated and of Greek origin. The quoted Isaiah scripture in this passage mentions the year of the Lord's favor. This is assumed to mean the Jubilee year. According to Leviticus 25, after every 49 years, 7 times 7, there is a 50th year of Jubilee. In that Jubilee year, all Jewish slaves are freed, all debts are forgiven, everyone returns home to their land. The whole Jewish system of land ownership is built around this Jubilee year. During the Jubilee year, even the land is allowed to rest. No crops are planted or harvested. It is a chance for the land to regenerate, to produce crops to come. You could only eat what your field produced without your efforts, what grew wildly, what God chose to provide. And immediately before this passage comes the passage where Jesus is tempted by the devil for 40 days. We are told that Jesus returned to Galilee and that he was gathering some fame for his work. As the musical says, Israel in 4 BC had no mass communication. The fact that a report of Jesus' work was spreading was a testament to his impact. And Luke tells us that Jesus was filled with the power of the Spirit. Presumably, Jesus was not only preaching and teaching, but also performing miracles. In Luke, immediately after the second half of this story, we have several miracles, and they continue to be sprinkled throughout the next several chapters and indeed the rest of Luke. The transformation of lives and of society was the work that Jesus was doing, and Luke concentrates on that. Okay, that's enough background. The story is both normal and unusual. Normal in that Jesus, as an observant Jew, was educated in Hebrew and the scriptures. It probably helps that as a piece of God, he was involved in writing the scriptures. And that Jesus participated in the weekly worship at the synagogue and was respected enough to be allowed to read and interpret scripture. He was teaching in a number of places, sort of like a guest preacher. He followed custom, all of this very normal. And yet very unusual. Jesus is not your normal guest preacher. For one thing, he started doing it in his teens or younger. Pastor Jeff, a few weeks ago, read the story of the child Jesus speaking in the temple while his parents searched for him. And the preaching isn't terribly normal either. One commentator stated that generally the teaching in the synagogue, as opposed to in the temple in Jerusalem, was provided by the educated men in the congregation. Those attending would be more biblically literate than the average churchgoer today, but it is likely that they would mainly be repeating the interpretation that they had learned in the synagogue as a child. Jesus was different. Jesus came with authority, with a good report from around the area. Jesus knew the scriptures. And Jesus taught from scratch rather than repeating prior teaching. Scholars believe that based on this passage, Jesus probably chose the Isaiah scripture. We know from other places in the gospel that Jesus was intimately familiar with the scripture and had grown up learning in the synagogue. Jesus knew what he wanted to say and what scripture to quote to say it. It seems likely that Jesus asked the attendant for the Isaiah scroll and was able to open it to the passage that he wanted. And it's important to note, the words that Jesus read were slightly modified. Jesus based his scripture reading around Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. But he dropped a few things, and he brought in a few things from other places in Isaiah. What he kept were, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." But he left out a few things. In chapter 61, it says to bind up the brokenhearted after bringing good news to the poor. And most importantly, Jesus left out proclaiming the day of vengeance of our God. That's not what Jesus was here for. God's vengeance was previously something dealt out directly. In Christ, things are different. God's word is written on our hearts, and we will be judged later for our actions. This is not to say that God does not intervene in the world today, but rather that divine punishment is no longer the only means of correction. We are called to correct each other in love, as Christ corrected others in love. And then Jesus adds a few things. He proclaims recovery of the sight to the blind. Clearly, this is one of Jesus' more common miracles. And not just in the Gospels. Christ restores sight to Saul when he accepts Christ and becomes Paul. Restoring sight is also a sign of God's fulfillment of promises. He also adds to let the oppressed go free. And here Jesus is reaching to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. This lines up very nicely with the year of Jubilee, although in Jubilee only slaves were freed. Here the freedom is for all of the oppressed. The result is a strong message for justice. One of Jesus' key themes in his teaching is for the last to be first and the first to be last, and to provide for those in need. Widows, lepers, the poor, the blind, the lame, the oppressed, these are all the people that Jesus consistently teaches to help across all the Gospels. This is the second great commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. We do this here at Blauenberg with our fundraising and our ship ministry, and we take care of each other. We do this with our chaplains and our members who visit and call and write and care for the sick. Jesus is also making it more personal, more linked to himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me, he has sent me to proclaim release. Those in the synagogue would normally understand those me references to mean the prophet Isaiah or the servant mentioned earlier in Isaiah as sent by the Lord, which could be foreshadowing Jesus. Those in the synagogue probably wouldn't have noticed the pronoun me at all, concentrating on the works being promised. But Jesus clears that up right away. He sits down, and where the congregation would have expected some interpretation of the scripture or a message, Jesus says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Bam! Jesus is saying, "I am the one anointed. I am the one sent. It's me." And the congregation would have heard of Jesus' teaching and miracles elsewhere and know that Jesus was talking about himself, and that Jesus was talking about these things happening now and not at some future time. So imagine their shock. Imagine that instead of Pastor Jeff or me or Nancy or some other guest preacher, someone from the congregation got up and did this. Suppose that Barb Antonowitz or Dave Cochran or Barb Reed or Bernice got up and read something from Revelation. Something like, "Then I saw the heaven opened and there was a rider on a white horse. His rider is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." And then our church member says, "I am that rider." I know that my mouth would be hanging open. I would be stunned to hear this. I suspect that all of us would be stunned. Someone that we know, perhaps someone who grew up in this church, someone that we see at the grocery store or that we remember playing with in the street, that person has now announced that they are the Christ. And all of the prophecy is being fulfilled now while we are here participating. What would you do? How would you react? What would you say? What would you say to us here in the congregation? And what would you go and tell others? So, Jesus stands up and he takes the scroll and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he sits down and he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Essentially, I am he. I am the one who is anointed and sent to do this. It's me, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. What would you do? How would you react if the person sitting next to you in the pews got up and announced that they are the Messiah and that they are bringing justice to the world? Come back next week, and Jeff will tell us what happened next. Here is our cliffhanger. And those who know their Bible know the answer, and it's a doozy. Amen.